I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Good afternoon to you and yours. This is The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. I am obviously not Choice Woodman, as he is, I don't even know what he's doing. Did he announce what he's doing?
Well, what's going on this weekend?
The Kentucky
Texas
Derby.
Tech taking on Oklahoma at Dan Luffield, Rick Griffin Park Derby. For the final home game of the season.
Derby prep.
Captain Snyder would be correct over there.
So he did. He said he was going to the Derby.
Yes.
Okay.
No, we've all known he's going to the Derby.
Well, no, but did he say it?
He's going.
Yeah. Yeah, he said it.
This is what I'm asking. Okay, so good luck to
Choice.
He
even told us what he was wearing for some reason.
Seersucker.
A seersucker suit?
Seersucker pants with a. Although he didn't say he's wearing Bucks. He needed to wear the Bucks.
Yeah, I guess we just got part of the ensemble because it was the seersucker pants.
Those two voices you just heard are the one and only Clint Scott and Chris Snead. Hey, yo, Sneeder.
What's up?
Yesterday, Jamie described
Didn't hear a word of it. What did he say?
Yesterday, Jamie described the game against UTRGV before we got there as a chance to put on dry socks. Like, it'd been raining. You're soaked head to toe. You get out, you get to the game, but you get a chance to take your shoes off, take your wet socks off. You don't feel better because you're still soaked, but putting on dry socks makes you feel better. Do you have dry socks today after Texas Tech baseball's game against UTRGV last night?
No.
You don't feel better?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
This team is too injured, too banged up, and I mean, it was bad enough when you were banged up on the mound. Now you're starting to lose position players. And, you know, it's I mean, the fact that this team's you're 30 and 30 and 14? 30 and 17?
Why do you got to ask me a question I should know off the top of my
head? I mean, I should know the answer myself. But, you know, a week ago, just a week and 8 days ago.
17.
A week ago and 8 days, we were talking about this team. Hey, you know, you win the three series, you don't lose any of your non-conference games, you get yourself the conversation for hosting again. And they yanked me back and they pulled me, reeled me right back in. And I started to dream a little bit again. And, you know, four losses and a road sweep later, I'm back to thinking, is this team going to get into the postseason? That's because I don't think you got yourself probably up from last four out to probably safely on the two seed line. The two seed was probably going to be at A&M, but you've worked yourself back to the three seed line, and it's near the bottom of the three seeds, which means you're going to be one of the last four in because they don't put power fives. Very, very, very rarely does a power five program.
A lot has to go wrong for a power five to end up as a four seed.
End up as a four seed. Very, very. Those are usually reserved for bid stealers and small conference automatic qualifiers. And very, very rarely. I mean, it usually happens in a year where there are no bid stealers and all the automatic qualifiers get in.
You don't see the comparison is you don't see a basketball team in a Power 5 conference being a 15 or a 14 seed that often.
Very rarely. And so I think the last one was like Nebraska, like about 4 years ago was a four seed. And it was someone like that you just went, oh, wow. And doesn't seem to be a year where I could see a four seed out there. So if you're not a three seed, you know, 'cause remember, like just 2 years ago, two seasons ago, you were a three seed at Georgia Southern, the number 16 overall seed. That means you are the last team in. You were the last. You were the last Power Five team. One of the last four in, and I think you're trending toward that again. And if you get in now, I mean, it could be a difficult path for the Raiders. I mean, I'd see
up. If I told you their RPI went up three slots last night,
yeah, it went up to 37. That's on. That's
doesn't
in the,
make you feel better.
No,
doesn't make you feel better.
Doesn't make me feel better.
I didn't say good. I said better.
No.
Okay.
You're on the conversation line of not being in.
Sure. You can also make some headway this weekend.
You can make big headway this weekend. A series win helps, but you need to get yourself safely in the top 30 if you want to be feeling pretty good about yourself, because your road record,
not good.
Oof, your home and road splits are. I mean, it's becoming a thing where it works against these guys, where they just feel like they can't win on the road. They can only win it. They can beat anybody at home, can't beat anybody on the road. And it starts to work against you because Kansas isn't a better team than you. Kansas
no,
is not a better
came,
team than you. Not
even. As frustrating as the Kansas weekend was, their guys came out and pitched lights out.
They pitched their tails off. That was the best series they played all year.
And you know, you're a baseball guy. I'm a baseball guy. We get 100 baseball guys in here. We've all seen series like that at every level where one team just decides or one guy just decides, I'm sorry, you don't need your bats today. And that's kind of what the entire Kansas pitching staff
well,
did.
Well, I mean, because think about this.
Now,
two weeks before,
compete into bats either.
Well, you didn't.
That didn't help.
But the point I was trying to make was just the week before we sweep West Virginia, and I want to say it, West Virginia's a better team than us. They're a better team than us, and we swept them. I mean, they were better at a lot of positions than us, and we just outplayed them. And that's the power of playing at home for this team and the power of going on the road. You've got a better team, and you take off and go play in a place. Is Kansas an intimidating environment?
No.
No. It's three bad weather days, and they probably had 150 fans in the stands all 3 days.
Combined.
You know, and you go up there, and you absolutely – play like you're playing in front of 15,000 Aggies at College Station, and it's just your bats shrivel up. You can't put balls in play, and it's just you can't pitch well. I mean, you're giving up 9 runs on Saturday with your ace guy who was just National Pitcher of the Week the week before, gives up nine to. I mean, that's a strong lineup, but I mean, you've faced better this year.
Mm-hmm. So you're still
I am
Wet Sox.
Yeah, my socks are.
Have you wrung them out at least?
No. They're just soaking wet. They're okay. Soaking wet right now.
Well, I don't think I'm going to change your mind. I don't know that I'm going to try to change your mind. Because a lot of the concerns that you have, that I have, that every Red Raider baseball fan has, are very similar. That this team on the road versus this team at home is two completely different teams. The advantage is that you're at home this weekend against a Big 12 team that is sitting atop the Big 12 standings. The last time that, I guess West Virginia wasn't on top of the league.
Yeah, they were.
You played Friday, they were one game back.
Okay, yeah.
By definition, because
they played on Thursday night.
Right. Like, if I said that they were on top, someone on the chat line would say, Oklahoma's on top because they played on Thursday. Someone would say that.
All right.
So I'm giving them the opportunity to not say that. Now Oklahoma is on top of the league as you play them Friday night, Dan Lough Field, Rick Griffin Park at 6 o'clock over on Double T 97.3. We'll discuss a lot more coming up, including your headlines. We've got more Tech Baseball conversation on the way. Your word of the day, plus Tech football, question of the day, dad joke. I've got a top 10 list of dynamic duos. We'll get to all that and more. It's on the way, on the bottom line, on 100.7, The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
More minutes with Chris Need here on the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice, who is on his way to be dressed up in very expensive clothing and watch a 2-minute sporting event.
Can I
throw a shout out. I'm going to do it anyway. Hey, I'm going to shout out my student alumni board, who right now are working the decal drive-through in front of the McKenzie Merkett Alumni Center. So if you're a senior and you got the email, go through and get your decal.
What does the decal say?
Says Texas Tech Alumni Association, because they are becoming alumni next week.
There you go.
And they're, you know, the president gifts them a membership in the Alumni Association for their first year. So we give them their decal right now. So go by.
And this is not a while supplies last. You have a decal for everybody available.
Pretty much. So they'll be out there till 3 p.m. And they're out there hanging out there. And I'll be out there with them here as soon as they get down here.
What if you just wanted to go get a decal?
Nope.
Do they call you?
Nope. You need to. It's a decal drive-through. The first couple of kids showed up and parked their cars and walked over to the tent. Said, it's a decal drive-through. Hence the driving.
Well, no. Like, if someone wanted to join, do they call you?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're
call the Alumni Association and 806-742-3641. Talk to Michelle. She'll transfer you to me.
Proud sponsor over on Double T97.3,
absolutely.
By the way, I'm happy to bring this
up. We are on the team, by the way.
They are on the team.
Yeah.
And have been on the team for quite some time.
And you got to hear from our CEO, Kurt, and our SAB Vice President, Parker Galvan.
We did.
And then Emma, who was the Emma Reeves, who was our past president.
Did you do that? Did you talk to them?
Yeah.
On Tech Talk?
No, you didn't talk to them on Tech Talk.
Who did you talk to?
They have a commercial.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm like, I thought we had an interview for him. I was like, I don't remember an interview.
I was scratching my brain to be like, you know,
Enough of that.
Did I completely blank out an interview from my mind?
Go see those guys.
There's a definite possibility.
They're over there right now. Go see those guys.
This thought off the Yates Flooring Center chat line from T-Money 806. Mm-hmm. The only upgrade Dan Lawfield needs is a free-flowing ATM machine in the clubhouse.
I'm assuming that's for just to...
NIL.
No.
That's where I'm assuming it's coming from, yes.
Okay, I was...
In the clubhouse. Not in the ballpark, in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're fine on that. This team struggles this year.
Are not NIL related.
They're not NIL related. Now, this team has been snake bitten with injuries all year. I mean the fact that you've had three guys with line drive head injuries, one, thank goodness Dylan is just a concussion.
Sure.
But I mean
100%.
And you know, I mean, and it seems that the first one was the worst, the second one was bad, and the third one, it was probably a near miss. And
it's a near hit, but yeah.
Well, okay.
Because the near miss?
Yeah.
That's a near miss. Yeah. They nearly missed. Shout out George Carlin.
True. True. noted and true.
It's just saying.
But, I mean, this team is the injuries. You know, Austin Green, nagging injury. And, you know, you've seen, you know, Bazell, the weird... You know, illness at the beginning of the year. You know, and I mean, and it was, you know, this team's just struggled with it not being at full strength all year. I wonder how many games they played with the full lineup, the expected lineup they thought they'd roll out of the fall with.
Including rotation.
And rotation.
And that's the catch.
And they just haven't been at firing at all cylinders with all six bullets in all six chambers all year.
T-Money brings this back. So $4 million in NIL wouldn't bring in four starting pitchers. They can go top 10 in the draft. Come on now. That's not the issue.
Hey, T-Money 806, you are right. You are right. If we could pay $1 million a guy. If that guy's got a sore shoulder, you just paid $1 million for a sore shoulder.
And that's what you've – and you, not that you paid $1 million to these guys.
No.
But that's what's happened to you this year is just injuries – we're not making excuses.
Yeah,
just talking facts.
Hey, T-Money, I'm feeling you, man. You are exactly right. I would love an ATM that just spewed out cash like that. You know, just hey guys, hey, home run. Here's $100.
Maybe not quite. I mean,
why not?
No, I'm not that far yet.
Why not?
Because I don't want that to happen in the majors either.
Why not?
I'm not there.
You know what? The best incentive I ever saw in any sport is to hit a home run, pass your helmet around, and get a dollar from your fans. Did you ever see
a minor league deal?
Yeah, minor league deal.
Okay.
I mean, that's that. I mean, I remember going to El Paso Diablos games, and you know, Coco Guerrero would hit a home run, and he would walk around with his helmet, and people were sticking dollars and tens and fifties and things through the fence. You don't think that's an incentive program?
That is an incentive program, although it kind of goes also to the bounty gate for the Saints. Knock a quarterback out of the game, get X. Knock a receiver out of the game, get
X. You know what? If you're hitting
a home run, you're not exactly ending someone else's season.
Sure. Where do you draw the line? And this isn't the...
Probably injuring other players.
I would tell you this. If you don't think that those bounties happen in every locker room...
Oh, like, sure.
And, I mean... Just because you heard about it with the Saints
doesn't mean it hadn't been happening. It just means
it just means that somebody recorded it for the first time.
Sure. One thing I will say about NIL for baseball, unlike every other sport on campus, it feels like those guys aren't on full ride. Those guys are paying to be here.
Most guys, and very, very, very rarest of rare occasions, are you on a full ride.
Now,
and
they're getting books. They may be getting half their class, whatever the
balance is. I can think of the two guys that were on a full ride here at Texas Tech since I've been a fan. One was Scooter Martinez, the number one player in the country, coming out of high school from Hawaii. And that guy came here and didn't pee a drop. And he was a full ride dude and was here for 1 year. And I mean, by the middle of non-conference, we knew this guy couldn't play Division I baseball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, at the end of the year, you had a full ride scholarship. You had 100% scholarship sitting over on the bench, couldn't get in the lineup. And then there was a second dude named Junior Rodriguez, who was a number one JUCO player coming out of JUCO 1 year, and he came on 100%, and he was. He was not 100% player. You would have thought this guy, hey, four-hole hitter, starting shortstop, does everything, and he wasn't bad. He just wasn't good enough to be on 100%. And those are the only two guys I can recall. And
didn't Oklahoma have a guy that was on full ride a couple of years ago?
Possibly. Usually when you got a 100% guy, you would think that guy is going to come in and be all everything. And in some points
– Josh Young. Is the guy you would expect?
I'd expect him.
And he wasn't.
And Josh wasn't on 100%. I mean, and you just put yourself in such a bind when you invest that much into one player, because that's probably, 10 players worth of money.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 guys getting 10% or one dude getting 100%, and that one guy better produce. And if he doesn't produce,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. And that.
But going back to my point, NIL in baseball. While it doesn't necessarily help you get every player that you could possibly want, it gets these guys so they're not walking out of Texas Tech University with a bill.
Yeah.
That it can do, and they can do that today.
Yeah. I mean, the difference between NIL for football and NIL for baseball is that the guys getting $25,000, they get to go out and buy a car.
Sure.
They get to go out and buy a bunch of clothes. They get to go do some stuff. The guys that are getting the $10,000 NIL in baseball, they get to pay their tuition. They get to pay their apartment.
Or whatever to the normal cost that others are covered because they're on a full ride scholarship.
Because, the football players, that's added value for those guys. I mean, they're already on a full ride. They're getting full cost of attendance. They're getting a meal plan. And now here's an extra $25,000 on top of all that. And then if you're good enough and steadily enough, you get to get your own NIL deal. Which could be worth up to whatever, but the baseball guys, you're getting the $10,000, and you're getting your percentage, whatever, and maybe it's still covering half of your college. Your mom and dad still have to come up with some money. You got to get a student loan. You got to pay for those books. It's crazy.
Do you think at some point the scholarship restriction will get changed with all of this going on?
Nope. Unless you figure out a way for 85 scholarships to magically appear in women's athletics, I don't see how they're ever going to change. I've been a proponent.
Wasn't it also an NCAA rule?
It's an NCAA. You have to have as many women's scholarships as you
women
do
women swimming.
Yeah,
and put 85 girls on it. That doesn't mean Tech baseball could get more scholarships because it's an NCAA rule.
You got to get that equal. Football's not counted in, but you got everything else got to be equal. You got to. Well, it's counted in there, but you got to get it equal.
Right, but but baseball is limited by the NCAA.
Yeah,
it's not limited by. It's also limited by NIL, but you can exceed it. We've got a word of the day coming up that's very important because you could get money. It's on the way, on the bottom line.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Rolling through your afternoon here on the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for choice with Clint Scott, and now sitting alongside the one and only Jamie Lint, who will be on the radio broadcast call this weekend with Red Raider Baseball taking on Oklahoma, and was on the call last night as they took on UTRGV. And the way he described the game Tuesday morning was, this is an opportunity for you to put on dry socks. And then this morning we talked about it, and you got to put on dry socks after getting a win over UTRGV. It wasn't a great game. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the prettiest of games you could have played. Mm-hmm. But it was a win at home, and you went up three spots in the RPI.
Four
spots now?
Four.
Thought it was 41 to 37. I guess that is four, isn't it? Quick math. If you do the math, it's amazing how that happens. I'm just going to... No. Yeah, that's...
Okay, that's the highlight of my day so far.
I'm glad I could help you out there.
Wow, they moved up five spots.
That was awesome, Jeff.
Yeah. So, got this question earlier, and Bullfighter, I apologize. I meant to ask... Sneed and I talked about it off-air. I meant to ask it on-air, so I will ask Jamie on-air now. And then share Sneed's answer as well. Since all three of you guys are baseball guys, I have a question for y'all. Is it perfectly acceptable for someone, a super fan, to wear his professional team colors to his favorite college's baseball game, like bottom to top, all professional gear? The way I'm wrapping my head around this, and the way Sneed and I talked about it off air, you are a Texas Rangers fan going to a Texas Tech baseball game wearing Rangers hat, Rangers shirt, Rangers shorts. I don't find a fault in that, with one caveat. If those colors are the anti-home team color.
The opposing team's colors.
Well, not even opposing team. Like, let's just say there was a Major League Baseball team, like the Astros, that wear orange a lot. I don't know that I would wear orange to a Red Raider baseball game.
As long as you're not playing them that day.
Yeah, I'm still that game because the orange is way different than the Texas orange.
Are you hearing him?
I heard him just fine. The orange is different than the Texas orange.
You're not playing the Longhorns every day.
Sure.
So I every game.
Or if you saw maroon. If there's a maroon, I don't know what professional team wears maroon. I don't know that any of them do. Off the top of my head. I'm sure there's one out there somewhere.
Clint, tell me what you said again.
Sorry, I wanted to move my mouth again. It's different oranges as well, but I agree. I think unless you have the most burnt orange Astros gear of all time, and it's like been washed too many times and maybe actually was burnt like in a fire or something, and it looks just like Texas, as long as you're not wearing it the day of.
I think burnt orange is the one color in this world that stands for one specific school and nobody else. There are no other burnt orange teams, right? If they are, Texas High School, okay? And Texarkana. Okay? I think they're the Longhorns too. Maybe the no, I think they're the Mavericks. I don't know.
But Kiowa County High School in Kansas.
Okay, but nobody thinks of these two, right?
Right.
Nobody thinks of them.
You see burnt orange, you think Longhorns.
Okay.
The only team I would throw a possibility out there is Tennessee, because it's very close.
I don't think so. It's way closer to Syracuse and Clemson. Tennessee is. It's just brighter. I mean, I see there's...
It's Volunteer orange.
They're I just think that's the one color. When you wear that color, everybody thinks Longhorns, Texas Longhorns. There are no professional sports teams that are that color, so you wouldn't wear that color. When you wear orange, like Houston Astros orange, I don't think people are thinking Longhorns. They probably would be more likely to think Oklahoma State because it's closer to the same orange.
Honestly, and if depending on how much blue's in it, I might go, who's that Sam Houston cat until he turns around?
Or whatever, or Clemson or Syracuse, whatever,
Or UTSA even, because they've got that kind of orange if you were wearing the Astros gear.
UTRGV, whatever. So
don't wear your Astros gear to the UTRGV game.
But otherwise.
Because that would immediately, when people saw you, they would think, oh, there's a UTRGV fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or don't wear it when Oklahoma State's in town. But that's the only time. Man, you can wear whatever you want. I just don't think you can wear random clothes to a Red Raider game, just whatever, show up with what you wore to work or whatever's comfortable. I'm totally fine with that. Just don't make it the opposing team's colors.
Yeah.
That's the only
That'd be the only caveat I would
like,
put on.
Like, if you went to Lawrence this past weekend and wore Rangers gear as a traveling Red Raider fan, that would be confusing.
Yes. Absolutely. Good. Very good point. Yeah. So I think Bullfighter can rock his. When you initially talked about this, you're like head to toe Rangers gear. I'm like, we got pants and stirrups and everything. That seems a little out there, but you were saying just shorts.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he
wouldn't. Have seen Bullfighter's. He's put a picture up on the chat line before of the actual.
Yeah. Head me too. To toe. Me too.
So, I mean.
Yeah. And it's good look, whatever. So, yeah,
I say go for it.
Again, the only caveat I would put on it is the other team's color. If you're wearing the other team's color, I would avoid that.
Yes.
But otherwise, wear what you want to a ball game.
Playing Kansas at home, don't wear that. Or BYU.
Wear the alternate uniform.
Don't wear the City Connect, because then we'll all just question your style.
You know, you say that. I don't disagree with you. I don't get it, but I know so many people that love it. And and it's on social media all over the place that love the City Connect uniform. And I like the concept of the Ranger City Connect uniform. I do. It just looks like a hodgepodge to me, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I know so many people that love the heck out of it because it is so different.
I still don't love the uniform. I'll be honest, the Peagles ridiculousness has grown on me. Just think it's kind of a funny little logo. Mm-hmm. But the uniform still, I have yet to run into people. We're not in the same circles. I have yet to run into anybody.
Can I join your circle and get out of
like,
mine?
Go! I absolutely love those uniforms.
This off the Yates Learning Center chat line from Bobby Hot Dogs. As an Astros fan, of the probably 25 Astros shirts that I own, exactly zero of them are orange. Good boy, Bobby Hot Dogs. I realize it's a different orange, but it's still too close for my liking. I like this. There's nothing orange in my apartment. I will. No lie, I'm motorcycle shopping right now. There is a motorcycle in town I could buy today with the money I have in my account that I am saying no to because it is orange.
I could never own a maroon vehicle. I could never own a burnt orange vehicle of any sort. I mean, I guess if I got to a point in my life where my finances were so struggling that you'll take what you can get. Okay, that's a different deal.
I'll go without.
Yeah, I just can't ever imagine. My daughter and I were looking at different schools this weekend, and one of them that we looked at was maroon, and she's like, I just don't think I can do it, Dad.
Good girl. Like, good girl.
Way to go. Yeah.
Coming up, we have, what's on tap next? Texas Tech football offseason. We're officially there. Spring practice is over. We've had time to decompress. Some questions, some thoughts and concerns, some quality ideas. We want them all. Coming up next on The Bottom Line.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Get your thoughts in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at 107thescore.com, or you can do it on the mobile app, which also can connect you to the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. You go up in the top right-hand corner, hit the settings, and you can call the station from the app, assuming you're on a phone. If you're on a tablet, if you're on your computer, that doesn't work so much unless you've got, like, phone access on those, and that would be really cool if you did. I don't know that anybody has that, though. But you could. So it's not exclusive to that. But that's how you can do it to make your life easy so you don't have to try to remember it. Jeff McGuire sitting alongside Jamie Lint and Clint Scott sliding slides, pushing buttons for us. Bullfighter says, sorry for taking up the whole segment, but I'll see you all Saturday with head-to-toe Rangers blue on. Bullfighter, we're talking sports and talking uniforms. This is a winner in some
circles.
That
was way more fun than the conversation of should grown men wear jerseys.
Did you recently have that conversation? Was that this morning?
No, not recently, but I mean, that's one I've heard before. I'm indifferent. I guess the only jersey that I is really, really, really rare. But when I go watch a Yankees game, I usually have a jersey on. Okay. So a baseball jersey. I'm not rocking a tank top, you know, and football jersey, just not my thing. So I am more comfortable in a polo, whatever, a t-shirt. But I just, it's like people who get so angry about certain people for eating certain foods. It doesn't affect you at all. Why are you so angry and critical of people who wear a jersey? It doesn't affect you.
You don't have to wear the jersey, just like you don't have to eat pineapple on pizza.
It's like it gets them so angry. I guess if you really wanted to, Clint Scott, Jeff McGuire, you could say, well, Red Raider basketball players wearing blue shoes also does not affect you. That is technically fair.
That is fair.
But they are representing our school. I think they should wear our school colors.
It should be part of the uniform.
And I think if you're an adult.
As an alum, I can have an opinion on that.
I think if you're, well, as an adult, legally, age sense, if you're an adult wearing a jersey of any kind, that's fine. I think you should just have to wear the actual jersey size that the player wears, you know, just to make it fun. Like a Stanton jersey would swallow Jamie up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sure. I think I'd be okay with all the jerseys I have. I think they are what they would be. Frank Thomas, I mean, Bo Jackson's a big guy. I think I'm okay on that jersey size.
Yeah, that's why I'm only a fan of big guys in baseball. Because I live by that rule. Live and breathe by that rule.
I have an old Bruce Smith for the Buffalo Bills. I think that one would probably be too big for me.
The only rule, I guess not the only rule, I don't have a jersey of anybody younger than me. Unless it's like hanging on the wall. And I don't have anything hanging on my wall. But if I got a Josh Young jersey for the Rangers, I'd have to get a frame for it and hang it up. I couldn't wear it.
I don't have a problem with that either. I mean, I have Patrick Mahomes. I have.
But you're also not rocking it.
Wes Welker.
I've never seen you wear these.
Derek Jeter's like 2 weeks, I mean, 2 months older than me.
That's enough. 2 months older is enough.
I'm sorry, he's 2 months younger.
Oh, he's 2 months younger?
2 months younger. I don't have an issue with it.
I can't wear an Adrian Beltre jersey.
Wow, you guys were in the same recruiting class. That's awesome.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we were. Jeter and I were. Yeah.
He did a little
bit. We were eligible for the same draft. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea you guys had so much in common. You're both Yankees fans?
We both grew up diehard Yankees fans. We both grew up our dream job being the shortstop for the New York Yankees. Yeah. A lot in common. Mm-hmm. Yep. We both aren't particularly, don't really love to talk, yet we're both in the media. Yeah. All those things.
I'm just going to let Jamie you keep Jeter. Rolling on the favorite number two?
Not until him.
Is your current favorite number is two? Just because it's because of him doesn't mean it's not your favorite number right now.
I don't know that I have a favorite number. I don't know.
Clint, do you have a favorite number?
11. There was no reason behind it. Just as a kid, I liked the symmetry of it. I was like, that looks sharp. And forever, just stuck with my favorite number was 11.
Mm-hmm. 5 is the number I kept running to in sports.
Yeah.
Like, whenever... where the events that I swam in and swimming times, like fives always just kept jumping out.
You had numbers?
So, like times?
Yeah, they get the sheet and they don't have jerseys. They just staple it to them on the back. It's very uncomfortable.
I think my number would be three because I like my daughter tries to wear three as much as she can in honor of Luke Siegel. And so I would say my favorite number is three then. Yeah.
So your favorite number has changed.
Yeah, because for a while there it was seven for the Croatian sensation. But
see, I never got to like actually wear my favorite number except for like 1 year in rec league baseball because playing football, they weren't exactly going to let the tubby kid who wasn't a receiver wear 11 or something like that.
You could now, though.
You could now.
Worst thing ever, senior year of high school, I had appendicitis, and I missed part of tryouts / start of basketball practices.
Mm-hmm.
And they handed out jerseys while I was gone. So for my senior year,
man.
I got number 41 on the basketball team. Like, what am I, a blocking fullback? I mean, where's 41 in basketball besides Dirk?
I was going to say.
Dirk wasn't, but Dirk wasn't a thing yet.
Dirk wasn't even born yet.
You were Dirk before Dirk.
Like 41?
Famous
41s. How about like, basketball. Hey, the senior, we'll give him the jersey that he's always worn first. Now, well, you weren't here, so we had to give him to who was here. You got what was left over. Thanks, coach.
Let's see.
I'm looking at the Jerk Nowitzki
here.
It led to a very impressive 1-18 senior year of high school basketball.
Well, you were very Glenn distracted Rice. About the number thing, so your game was a little off.
Here you go, Jamie. Glenn Rice, 3-time NBA All-Star.
I will say, I did not play in the one that we won.
2000 NBA
Glenn Rice, champion. That was a good one.
2000 NBA championship, 1-time Sarah Palin fan, spotted number 41 for the entirety of his 15-year career. Let's see here. Dirk, obviously. Jamal Wilkes, Hall of Famer, did not wear 41 in his 8 seasons with the Lakers. For me, made a pair of All-Star teams and won 3 titles, but did wear it for 3 years with the Warriors, who he earned a ring with. 1975 Rookie of the Year, honored on the 76 All-Star selection, and a couple of defensive nods.
Yeah, so Dirk and Glenn Rice.
Yeah, that's the...
You know who else?
Oh, boy.
Clint Scott.
You wore 41?
Junior year.
Bill Laimbeer. There you go.
I wore it my junior year in basketball, so it's perfect. We even shared the sport.
Yeah, we did.
Jamie, Derek Jeter, and Clint Scott, pretty much all the same person. It's what they say.
Wow. No, you are definitely not Jamie Lind. You are definitely Chuck Hines. I'm sorry. That has been well established.
I did have a pretty sweet hook shot when I wore that 41, so, you know.
Nice. Nice.
You see, I just faced the basket, and I just used one hand.
You're just trying to annoy me, Clint.
Okay, so real, we've got a serious question on the chat line that we need to help this guy out with, because I'm in favor of helping him in this situation. Do you guys know what the cheating allegations are between Georgia and Texas A&M baseball? I don't want to click on the ESPN article and give them any SEC love.
This is the relief pitcher, right? That was, yes. Like, awkwardly squatting in the corner of the bullpen.
Yeah, like looked like he was putting something into his glove in an attempt to be able to doctor the baseball when he got onto the field.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
And Aggie coach saying that he's cheating and they're looking at the video and trying to determine it, but he didn't mention it during the game because he didn't see it during the game, although there's video of it happening during the game where he's on the mound where he's touching the top of his glove a lot. Yeah. So that's what the scandal is, and whether he was cheating or not is – now never to be found out, because all he has to do is get rid of that glove. And all we've got is the video evidence, but unless you can inspect the glove or have actual proof that that's what happened, which you can't get without the glove, he's going to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the scandal there. That's what's going on and preventing the SEC love. My son is 11 in basketball. He's 6'5 and 15 and skinny. So they call him Sticks. So 11 fits him well.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
He's 6'5 and 15.
Let's 6'5 and 15, yes.
That's awesome.
I had 54 in basketball. Terrible basketball number.
Feels like a left guard.
That dude in basketball is like that number you just assume can block out really well.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I mean, he's going to do some damage if you try to go against him.
There's no crossover step backs. Euros, it's like offensive boards, drop steps,
Lambeer clotheslines.
There you
I
go.
Mean,
yes,
not being able to move him off of his block. He, where he's standing, he is staying.
He is the lane. He's 54.
Coming up, question of the day brought to you by, well, me today. Talk about the next here on the bottom line of 100.7 Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Halfway through the bottom line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. You're also about an hour and 15 minutes away for your next secret word of the day, giving you your chance to win $250 from the home zone, making your house a home. Jeff McGuire filling in for Choice Woodman, sitting alongside Jamie Lint and Clint Scott behind the glass, sliding slides, pushing buttons, taking care of us as he does on the program. But now it's time for him to push the button for Jamie's question of the day.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score. Brought to you by someone not named Jamie and presented by Kinetico of West Texas. Life's hard, your water shouldn't be.
So this is an open-ended question, but I need three answers from you. And I don't know that there's a wrong answer in this because it's a personal feeling. And you can give your personal feelings on these as well off the Yates Flooring Center chat line. What are the three things you are most confident in going into next season for the Red Raider football team? 1, 2, and 3. And they can be anything. Maybe it's that your seats are comfy at Jones Stadium, because you've got one of the nice new seats in the south end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't. So ours are going to have to be a little bit different. But if that's what you're most confident in, what is your answer? 1, 2, 3. Jamie Lind.
Okay. Let's make a rule. One of them is off the field, and two of them are on the field.
Okay.
All right, let's make that rule. You guys good with that?
I got to come up with one off the field now, but yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Off the field, that everyone is going to be impressed and in awe of the south end zone. That we are all... numerous times going to be, man, that looks really cool. Whether you're sitting in the press box, sitting in the stands, looking at pictures, you're going to
driving
watching
by.
It on TV, you're gonna like, wow, that looks really cool. I mean, just the renditions look so neat to me.
And
so
just watching the construction camp.
Yeah, it's just really cool. So I think we're all going to be impressed, excited about, I mean, we'll be talking about it all season, all season long. That's the off
getting
the
them
field.
Choked up. Wow.
Yeah, on the field. I am confident that you are going to have more weapons in the wide receiver position than you had a season ago. And I am confident that, barring injury, Taj Brooks will have another really big season. Because I think you learned a season ago, Coach McGuire, these are his words, basically, that it took us too long to figure out who we are as a team. And I think this year they won't make that same mistake again, and we'll see Taj leaned on even heavier at the beginning of the season where it took 3 or 4 games last year.
Clint Scott.
So I will pick up on that point, and I will do my off the field last. Although aside off the field, I am confident that my bomb pop numbers are going to go way up this year with 7 home games.
They better.
Very excited
better
about
at least
that.
Be 7 this year.
I mean, some of them are going to even be celebratory bomb pops, not ones I use up there to help the team to, you know, shift the mojo or whatever. Because that's obviously
well,
why I do it.
The problem is, don't they
give Texas Tech football power? It's
no,
like a,
don't they lock up the bomb pops or take them away at the end? Can you grab one on the way out?
I've grabbed one on the way out.
You have? Okay.
Probably
seems
every
like
other
I've
game.
Gone before on the way out to grab one to...
No, there is no one guarding them. They're very liberal with how many... They don't have a sign to say, like, limit yourself. And to be fair, everyone else is going after, like, the ice creams and, like, the fudge bars, which are all great
Dude,
and stuff.
The Snickers ice cream bar.
The Snickers
That's
ice,
a top
which
five
is
ice
great,
bar.
Too. But I was like, well, someone's got to eat these bomb pops, right? I mean, no one's making a dent in it. Me and the five-year-old with a very blue mouth over there, like, we're the only ones doing anything here. Let's put our minds together and put some effort forward, you could, people.
You could be a little bit more respectful of Brennan, okay? He's not five.
Sorry. The 5-year-old looking kid over there by us.
Okay, so tech football, other than Bob Pops, go ahead.
So I'm going to pick up where Jamie left off because the first thing that just crosses my mind is has to be Taj Brooks. And mine, my first one honestly combines two of Jamie's because I think that one, you're set knowing like, hey, you are going to attack with Taj Brooks. And I think you have a capability to maybe even have a better season because we talked about this a little bit yesterday. If you have better receiver play and better weapons and you can open up the field a little bit more, well, that's only going to help Taj Brooks, where hopefully they're not just having to, or I should say getting to load the box with every defense you face year in and year out. Second thing I'm confident on the field is that defensively your most locked up spot and you should be the most excited about are the inside linebackers that you saw last year with Rodriguez and Ben Roberts. I think that those two are going to be stalwarts for your defense. So those are the two things on the field that I feel the best about or the most confident in. Other than bomb pops, my actual off-the-field one is that the best environment you're going to have all year, November 9th, when the increasingly hateable Deion Sanders and Colorado Buffaloes come to town. You might have a West Virginia one that matches it at the end, but I think Colorado is going to be, whether it's from you're that great at the end of the season and attendance is awesome, or even if it's just, hey, I'm here to see Deion on the sidelines and the circus show that's coming with the Buffaloes, I think your best home game environment, I'm confident, is going to be that Colorado matchup.
The only thing that could ruin that is if you're having a bad season.
I think, again, this is where I think the Deion effect is going to come into play.
That there will be people enough people that want to get to that game.
I think that this could be the same thing as Georgetown basketball, where even though you weren't excited about that as an opponent, people were pumped to see Patrick Ewing there.
Yeah.
I think you could see the same vein and probably multiply it a little bit because it's a conference game.
Okay, so the thing I am most confident in about the upcoming Red Raider football season, and remember, this is completely open-ended. There are no wrong answers. I am 100% confident that you will head into September 7th 1-0. And a year ago, we couldn't say that. And I know Abilene Christian at home is different than playing Wyoming on the road. It's a completely different animal, and this is not a high bar to clear. But how different last year would have been from a how you feel about the team winning that first game and then coming home to play Oregon, vastly different for week two. And that's just going to make the – I don't know that it's going to make the whole season feel better because no one is running up and down the streets because you beat Abilene Christian. It's kind of like playing UTRGV last night for baseball. You're supposed to win that game, but my confidence level in you winning that game is 100%. The second thing on the field, it's not something that we've necessarily touched on, but I have faith that this defense is going to keep giving you chances to win Big 12 football games. And for a very long time, that wasn't something we could say around here.
Not at all.
And I don't know that your defense is going to win you Big 12 games. I think your offense still has to have you do that. But they are. I believe that they will give you a chance to win every single Big 12 football game this year.
But I think they did win you games last year.
No, but...
including one against Clint's Jayhawks. I mean, your offense was horrible that day.
They were.
Accurate.
But it's also the, I don't think they're going to be scoring 20 points a game either. But I think they're going to give their play is there might their play might be the reason you win, but your offense still has to go out there and perform. And it might be go score 14 points because the defense is going to pitch a shutout. This defense is capable of doing that when I don't want to say when necessary, but it's not a here is an open hole for everybody to go run through and then we'll try to outscore everybody. I don't think that's the defense you've got right now. For the off-field thing, and this is, again, a wide-open answer, for the first time in 2 years, you're going to be able to walk around the stadium. It's not going to be the cluster that has been at halftime, at the end of games, because the whole south end zone's been blocked off for people trying to get out of there. And because of that, everybody leaving the stadium is going to be in a better mood because you're not having to go through the disaster area that has been.
Stop leaving at halftime, everybody.
I don't get an option. I have to leave at halftime to go set up postgame.
Why would we be leaving keep at working. Halftime?
Well, because you make me leave at halftime. Make somebody else go set up postgame.
You're just one person. Nobody else is going to help you.
I know.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.